And my name is Kelsey Shepherdson. If I haven't met you yet, I am one of the pastors here. And we are a church who believes that God is with us, that he's not somewhere far off, far away from us, that he is with us every day, that he speaks to us, that he leads us, that he guides us through life, that we're not just on our own trying to figure it out. And so I hope that you sense that during worship and with Pastor Tyler coming up and sharing. That's something that we believe. That's one of our core beliefs here at Hope Denver. And so we pray and we hope that as you're here this morning, that you would have a true encounter with God, that when you leave here today, you'd feel that God has spoken something to you, that he's given you some hope, that he's given you some peace, that maybe he's given you some direction for something that you're supposed to do in your life. And so I just ask that you would open yourself up to that this morning. I don't believe that I have anything really particularly poignant to say to you other than what has been spoken to me from the Lord this week. So would you just open yourself up to what God would want to speak to you this morning? And I hope that you'll be blessed because of that. We are currently in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And in this series, what we've been talking about how is that because of the Holy Spirit that's been sent to us, we can live in the fruits of the Spirit. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are available to us. So when Jesus came to earth, he came to save us. He came to teach us how to live. He came to offer salvation to anyone who would believe in him and in his name. And when he ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he promised his followers that he would send the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? It's actually better for you if I leave and I send the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's so hard for us to believe sometimes, that we'd be we're better off with the Holy Spirit than we are with Jesus' physical presence. But he said it's better because the Holy Spirit isn't limited by a human body. The Holy Spirit is with you all the time. It's a constant companion. It's a constant guide. It's something that can help you in every single second of your life. And so the fruit of the Spirit is when through the Holy Spirit, through walking with the Holy Spirit in your life, that you start to produce these amazing fruits in your life that otherwise wouldn't have been there. It's things that are available to you that are otherwise impossible for human beings to conjure up out of their own strength. And what we're talking about this morning is we're going to be talking about the fruit of peace. And this is probably one of the fruits of the Spirit that I think is probably the most difficult to conjure up out of our own strength. Trying to get peace in this world, trying to get peace in the kind of world that we live in, it's just not going to happen if we're trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. You can watch, you can try really hard, you can meditate, you can do all the stuff that the world says to do, but watch the news for 5 minutes or walk outside your door for 5 minutes and all that is going to go away. But there's a peace that's available to us through the Holy Spirit that God wants to give us as a gift, that's a peace that surpasses understanding, a peace that happens and overflows in you even when everything around you is telling you you should be afraid and you should be anxious and you should be worried. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I would like to just pray as we begin one more time. I know I prayed, but we are going to be in Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55. So if you want to go there while I'm praying, you can do that on your phone or in your Bible. But I just want to pray a blessing over us as we receive this. God, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to reign here. I ask that your peace would fall. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each person in an individual and personal way today. We thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about the fruit of peace, and peace should be the mark of a Christian. We're going to talk about how peace should be the mark of a Christian. So that is something that should differentiate us from all the other people in the world who are going through life with heaviness, with anxiety, with fear. We should be different. And it's God's will that we would shine in the darkness of anxiety in our current age, that we as believers, that people would notice that we're weird, that people would look and say, wow, that's so strange. How are you so at peace? How are you so calm? How are you so fearless? And the answer is then, well, it's the Holy Spirit in me. And that's a witness to the world. That's a witness that allows us to talk to people about what God has done in our lives. So peace should be the mark of a Christian. It should be a beacon that points others to the one true God, to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to hear that and think, oh shoot, well, I guess I'm not a Christian then, because I don't really look like that. My life doesn't look like that. And that's okay. I don't want you to feel like that, because there's a difference between God's ideal for us and where we are most of the time. And that's okay. That's just reality. That's life. But I think what we need to open ourselves up to this morning is to realize that that's actually what God wants for us. And so if that's what he wants for us, then that means that it's attainable, that it's actually possible to live without fear, to live without anxiety, to live walking in that Holy Spirit. So if it's possible, then we ought to try for it, right? And so that's what we're gonna talk about this morning. So we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to give you just a little bit of background on the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a book of prophecy. It was written probably about 700 years before the birth of Christ by a prophet named Isaiah, and he was really pronouncing judgment in this book of prophecy on the people of Israel because they were failing to walk in God's ways. They weren't being obedient to their faith. They were committing idolatry, following false gods, committing social injustices left and right that were not pleasing to God. And he was saying, you know, because of this, you are going to experience really difficult times in your history. You're going to experience exile. You're going to experience punishment, these natural consequences of your sin and your walking away from God. But he also prophesies future hope. He says that even though you've made these mistakes, even though you're going to face slavery and exile and all these awful things because of what you've done, there is hope. And the hope is that God is going to send this messianic king who is going to save you and who's also going to bless the whole world. And of course, on this side of history, we know that that's Jesus Christ. We know that that messianic king is Jesus, and that God did indeed send him, and he is a light to the whole world. Particularly starting at chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah, and then journeying onward, it's told from the perspective of after the Babylonian exile. So that means it's told from the perspective of once the children of Israel kind of had a rescue from the Lord. There's been a relief to their situation. And so he's speaking about that prophetically in the future, because in Isaiah's day and age, that had not happened yet, but he's prophesying about that. And he's prophesying that not only have they seen this minor deliverance now, but they're still gonna see future deliverance through the Messiah, through the suffering servant, who we of course know will be Jesus. And this particular section of the book that we're going to read this morning, it begins with Israel really, starting in chapter 40, Israel is accusing God for what they've gone through. So they've been through trauma. They've been through difficulty. And they're really in this place of, they're out of it now, and they're like, you know, I don't know if this God is so worth serving, you know? Maybe we should be worshiping the gods of the Babylonians because they are the ones with the power, so maybe they have the gods who have the power. So there's a little bit of doubt going on. There's a little bit of bitterness for the hurt and the suffering that they've gone through. And this passage in chapter 55, starting at verse 1, this is Isaiah's response to that. He's saying, no, don't start thinking that way. Don't think the other gods are the gods you should follow, because Israel's God is the true king of history. And if you follow him, there's some amazing benefits for you that are coming. So that's where we're starting. Isaiah 55, verse 1. This is called Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. So in this passage, Isaiah, he's recognizing that the people of Israel, that they're struggling. They're hungry and thirsty for hope. They're hungry and thirsty for healing from what they've gone through the trauma of their past. They're stuck. And I think this, I see so much our culture today in the longing of this language, that we live in a culture where we are longing. We see people longing for hope. We see people longing for peace, longing for joy. And what he's saying here is that you keep spending your money and keep spending your efforts on things that aren't actually ever satisfying you. You eat and then you're hungry again. You get money and then you want more. And I think that's so relevant to where we are as a culture and as a society, is that we see all around us people who are hungry for hope and hungry for restoration, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And this is something that came up in our prayer time earlier. We're people who we look to be satisfied in the things of this world that were never meant to fill that hole inside of us, that were never meant to satisfy us. And so we try, you know, it's like we buy the next thing or we have the next experience. We do those things and we grasp for them. And having those things just makes us want the next thing and the next and the next. And what Isaiah is saying, he's saying, with God, with following the true God, if you really follow him, then you don't have to be one of those people anymore. You don't have to be constantly hungry and thirsty and wishing for hope. That's not your lot in life. That's not God's plan for you. Let's continue at verse 3. Give ear and listen, and give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. So in this portion of the passage, this is really an allusion to the suffering servant, to the Messiah who's to come. And he's saying that in the future, there's going to be this messianic king. And he doesn't go fully into it in this passage, but the readers would know what he's talking about because it's been talked about a lot in Isaiah. And the idea behind the suffering servant is that he would be rejected and killed, and that his death is going to be a sacrifice that leads to atonement for God's people. And not only this, but he's going to be a light to the nations. So what Isaiah is saying here is that this is where your hope and your satisfaction should be. Your hope and your satisfaction should be that God has this Messiah, that he has a plan to save you. You should take delight in your salvation. There's this incredible hope that you have that the rest of the world doesn't understand, but you understanding that should have incredible satisfaction. You should have incredible hope and peace in this life. Let's continue at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So in that first verse, in verse 6, when it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, the literal meaning of that in the original language is pray for Yahweh to act. And that's the name of the God we worship, by the way. If you didn't know that, it's kind of an Old Testament thing, but Yahweh is the name of God. God is German, and it came from German. That's not really technically his name, but Yahweh is the Hebrew name for God. He's saying, pray for God, Yahweh, to act. That is what seeking God means. And I love that because the whole time in this passage, he's talking about God's promises. He's talking about God has already promised that he's going to act. He's already promised his salvation. And yet the first thing he says here is seek the Lord. Pray and ask God to deliver you. Pray that God will deliver you. And I love that because God wants us to seek him in prayer. He wants us to seek him for the things that we want, for the things that we need, for the areas in our lives that need deliverance. He wants us to seek those things, even though we know that he's already going to do it. We know that he's going to provide. We know that he's going to deliver. He still wants us to ask. And I think that's so important. I think that's so important. So I want to just turn that toward you for a minute and think about, you know, what are the struggles you're facing right now? The things that you need God to deliver you in, the places where you need God to act. And listen to these words and let them minister to you as we continue. In this passage, and actually throughout the whole book of Isaiah, there's a sort of a juxtaposition, there's my English teacher word for the day, and juxtaposition of wicked people and righteous people. And he talks a lot about the righteous do this and the wicked do this. And what he means by that is not necessarily how we would think of the word wicked. Wicked people in the book of Isaiah are people who just are stuck in seeing things their own way. They're not willing to see that God has a plan, that God is going to deliver, and that he's doing it on his own timing. In contrast, the righteous, they are people who are willing to believe in God's plan and in his redemptive purpose, even though they don't exactly see how it's going to play out. So interesting. I think that is such a good thing to grasp today, because I think it's very easy for us to fall into that category of the wicked, because we just want to see things our own way. We just have so much trouble understanding the way God does things, his purposes, his plans, and we kind of dig ourselves in on that and say, well, this is just how I feel, or this is just what I think. And what Isaiah is saying here is, he's saying, here's the thing, is that there's so much peace available to you, and we'll get there in a minute, we're not quite there yet, but there's so much peace available to you, there's so much blessing available to you, when you decide, I'm going to be in that camp of the righteous, I'm going to be a person who believes in God's plan, who believes in God's redemptive purpose, even though I don't totally understand how it's going to work. Or, even if I don't really like the plan. And that is a really hard thing to do. But it's through trusting in God's ways and being skeptical of our own way of seeing things that we find true peace. And that's so contrary to the way our world thinks about things. The world says to follow your own, follow your own beat of your own drummer. Your perspective is the ultimate perspective. You need to follow your truth. But that actually leads us down a path of death. It doesn't lead us down a path of peace. And we'll come back to that in a minute. This week I was reading a book called Into the Wild. I'm reading it to prepare for school, which I go back to teaching tomorrow. I have a few weeks of in-service and then students will come back. But my students are reading a book this summer called Into the Wild. It's a true story. It's about a young man who in the early 90s walked into the Alaskan wilderness because he wanted to prove that he could live on his own off the land. And he survived for about 100 and something days, and then he finally succumbed to starvation and died in the wilderness. And it's really the story of his, kind of what motivated him to do this, and just why, how he ended up where he did, why he ended up dying. And something that was so interesting about the story, and a theme that the author really tries to hit home with, is that this young man, he was so talented, he was so intelligent, he was so naturally gifted, and his Achilles heel was that he wouldn't listen to anybody. He wouldn't listen to advice from anyone, especially older men. He had an issue with his dad, and he didn't want any advice from anyone. And so a lot of people, and it was like God kept putting people in his path to warn him, to say, oh, you just need to be a little more careful. If you just plan a little better, if you just go get this equipment, if you just would take this food into the wilderness, you can do it. Your goal to live in the wilderness, you can do it. If you just will do this, if you just will do that. But he didn't want any of it. He wanted to do it his own way. He wanted to see it his own way. And he thought in his mind he had it all figured out, and he ended up dead. And I think that that's really relevant to what Isaiah is saying here, that so often we think we know exactly where to go. And looking on this side of it, not being, I think he was 24, anyone older than that thinks, oh, wow, if you're 24, you shouldn't believe everything you think. But he thought he knew it all. And I think we, wherever we are in life, sometimes we think we've figured it out. We think we know it all, and we just have trouble trusting that God would know any better than us. Several years ago, I knew a family who lost a child, and it was incredibly devastating. I mean, that's about one of the worst things that can happen on earth, is for a parent to lose a child. And I remember the mother sharing one day that it was through finally surrendering to this idea, this verse that we're reading today, of God's ways being higher than her ways and his thoughts higher than her thoughts, that was the one thing that really could give her peace. That, yes, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why God would let this happen, why God would take my child. But I don't have to. I don't have to understand, because his ways, I mean, how could I ever understand God's ways? It's not possible. And somehow that really gave her peace. And I think that is a verse that can give us a lot of peace. That when we see sadness and darkness in the world, we can remember that his thoughts are higher than ours, and his plan is bigger and greater and more beautiful than anything that we could imagine. And that doesn't mean there's not space for doubt. I think that doesn't mean there's not space to question and to wonder. And I think that, this passage really accommodates that. It's actually assuming that your thoughts will not be God's thoughts, that some of the time, and maybe even most of the time, you might not agree with the way that God does things. You might not agree with the plan he's laid out and the way he's made it to go. And I think that's so comforting that even though we might not see it his way and we might not agree and we might have done it differently, that there's room for that. There's space for that. And God wants us to just bring those concerns to him. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's continue at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Love that. We sang a song that has that verse in it today, which if you don't believe God speaks, we didn't talk about that. I mean, it's kind of amazing how that always happens. But the word in this passage is that just like we can count on the rhythms of the seasons, we can count on weather, we can count on spring coming every year, just like that, you can count on God keeping his promises. That if he has said something, that it will be accomplished. And so he's saying, if God said he's sending a Messiah, he's coming. You might not see it. You might not see how that's plausible or how that's going to work out. You might not understand why he's not there already, but he's coming, and you can count on that. And likewise, we can count on God's promises that he's made to us. If there's a promise in the Bible that God's made to his people, you can count on God keeping that promise to you. If there's a promise that he's spoken to you personally in your heart, you can count on him keeping that promise. He is a God who keeps his promises. It's just like we can count on the weather, just like we can count on the seasons. Let's continue at verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So this is the promise here. This is the promise that he's getting to, that if you are a person, if you are a righteous person, if you are a person who says, you know what, I don't understand it, I don't see God's plan, I don't see how it's going to work, I don't actually really like his plan right now. If you're one of those people who in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that pain, of that journey that you're on, if you're able to say, you know what, I trust in God's goodness, I trust in his love, then the reward that's available to you is joy and peace. And the word for peace here is shalom, which is the peace of God, which is just a peace that transcends all understanding and that fills every little crevice of your life, that just covers your life in just an amazing blanket of peace. So what Isaiah is saying is that peace and joy, that these are the results of dependent trust in God and in his ways. Those are the results of it. And so when we struggle, because we all do, when we struggle, this is a gift. God's peace is a gift. You know, we have to ask for it, and we have to contend for it. And part of contending for peace in our lives, part of contending for that, is that we bring to God the things that are keeping us from peace. We bring to him the things that are troubling us over and over again. And you might be in a season where you need to bring the things that are troubling you to God, like, twice a minute, you know? Sometimes in life it's like that. It's like, I got to take that to God again. I got to take it to God again. I got to take it to God again. Sometimes maybe you only have to do it once a day or a couple times a week. I mean, it depends on where you are right now. But that's what we have to do, is we have to take those troubles. We take those cares. We take those doubts, and we lay it at the feet of Jesus. And through that process, right there, what we're doing is we're putting our faith in him even though we don't understand. We're putting our faith in him even though we don't see. And the amazing miracle about that is that when we do, we experience this supernatural peace that just can't be explained. I mean, it has to be, you know, it has to be God. It has to be the Holy Spirit, because There's no other way to understand how you could go from fear one minute to peace the next. And so I just want to challenge you this week to do that, to struggle with your faith. Faith is supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be a struggle. That's why it's faith. We bring him the things that we struggle with. We bring him the things that we don't understand, and we allow him to minister to us through the Holy Spirit and to give us strength. Romans 8:6 says this. It says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And that verse is so countercultural to what our culture believes. I mean, if you want to find, I don't know if you could find a much more countercultural verse for where we are right now as a country than this verse. The mind controlled by the flesh is death. What this is saying is that when you follow your own way of thinking, when you just go after what you think is right and what you desire, that our world says that's where happiness is. If you just go take what you want, you have what you want, you pursue your own passions, you pursue your own pleasures, that is happiness, that is true living, that is freedom. And this is saying the opposite. It's saying if you actually have that attitude, if your attitude is, I'm right here, I know what I'm doing, I'm going for what I believe and what I think, that will lead to destruction and to death. That is not a fruitful way of living. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to come inside you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide the way you think, to guide the way you dream, to guide the choices that you make, that is where you will find true happiness and true joy and true peace. It's very countercultural. As we finish tonight, I want to just have three quick pieces of application, and I think I've hit on probably all of them a little bit. But just wanted to go over these really quick, just to give you something to walk away with. The first thing I want us to think about this week is cultivate peace in your life by trusting what you don't understand in God's capable and loving hands. And I want to give a little caveat to that, because what I don't mean by that is that you should just stuff your doubts and stuff the things that you don't understand and not try to explore them, because I think that's really important. And that's something that we value as a church very much, that when we have doubts, when we don't understand things about God or about the Bible, we really encourage people to seek that stuff out. We as pastors love when people ask us those questions. We love reading books that help with those kind of things. So if you're having serious intellectual doubts about God, I'm not saying just forget it, you know, just have faith, it's okay. No, seek those out, but realize that there's certain parts of things that we will never understand, because our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. So we can get to a point where we feel intellectually satisfied, at least 99%, about what we believe and what the Bible says, but there will always be a part of our heart that just doesn't quite get it because we're not God. And so what I challenge you this week with is put those things, those little marginal parts that are just still not there with God, and take it before God and offer those things to him and ask him to replace that with his peace. The second thing is pray in faith, knowing that God keeps his promises. This is something that it's one of those things that as you walk the life of faith, this becomes easier because you start to see God fulfill his promises. And so once you've seen one, then you realize, oh, I can believe for the next one and the next and the next. And I think what this scripture teaches us and what we were singing before about God's favor is that God does keep his promises. God, he always keeps his promises, and he's not late. Just like Pastor Tyler, again, amazing. He had that verse. I was literally going to talk about that verse. He's not late in keeping his promise. To him, it's just on time, because his plans and his thoughts are different than ours. And so we can trust that even if we don't see how the promise is going to be fulfilled, we don't see how it's going to happen or how it's going to work out, he is at work on our behalf, keeping his promises. And then third, we need to daily ask God to help us walk in the Spirit. I think it's so important to just each day invite the Holy Spirit, because peace and all the other fruits of the Spirit, they are gifts. They're gifts of God. They're something that we can't muster up in our own strength. And so we just have to recognize that. I think part of the battle is just every day recognizing I can't have peace on my own. I can't do this myself. I need the Holy Spirit's strength. And so let's do that this week. Let's pray as we close. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a God who pursues us with your love and with your peace. God, that you are not content with us just scurrying through life with these big burdens of stress and anxiety and fear on our backs. That your ideal for us is that we would be people who are marked by peace. Lord, that we would be people who are a beacon of blessing, a beacon of hope to the world who is stuck in their own darkness and fear and anxiety. So we pray, Lord, that this week you would help us to bring the areas in our lives that we don't understand, the things about you, the things about the world that we don't understand, and that we would lay those into your hands, that we would seek knowledge where we need to, but that we would also surrender the way we see things and submit to your way of seeing things. Lord, I pray for anyone who's listening who maybe doesn't have a relationship with you, who has never invited Jesus into their heart or invited the Holy Spirit to walk with them. And I pray right now that just in the quiet of this moment, if they're in the room here, if they're listening on the podcast or online, that they would just invite you, Holy Spirit, that they would say, God, you're my Savior. I want you to live with me. I want you to guide me. I want to experience the blessings of your Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord, so much for the hope that we have because of you, that we don't have to walk through life alone. Just pray a blessing over each one here, that they would feel a lightness in their spirit as they leave today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're here, if you're listening online and that was like a moment for you where you're like, I don't think I've had a relationship with Jesus or with the Holy Spirit before and I want to, please don't hesitate to come talk to a pastor after. We'd love to pray with you, get you a Bible, and if you're online, you can message us or email us. That would be awesome as well. But thank you guys so much for being here. We hope to see you next week. Have a wonderful week.